illustrious pastor Willie Robinson come up to the stage and teach us the ever-living word. Praise God.
You can put that one over. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Chad. Thanks, Chad, for taking up that offering. You did good. Amen. Amen. You're not going to teach the kids today. You're going to stay with me. Amen. Amen, brother. I don't blame you, Chad. This is our last Sunday. Boy, look, what happened to all our first Sunday people? Everybody is out for the holiday. I tell you what now. We're going to have a good time come New Year's. We're going to take the old one out and bring the new one in with Brother Copeland. And I enjoyed myself last year, so maybe to encourage the people this year, we'll have water and coffee. Well, you can't. That water good for you. Water and coffee. I'll drink the coffee, you guys. But we didn't come up with anything so far, so I don't know. We're just going to come in fellowship. And you know you're welcome, everyone. I like carrying the year out with the gospel and bringing the other one in with the gospel. That's good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I got a fire hot testimony, and I wouldn't let John tell me a test. He tried to share it with me. I'm going to let him share it with all of us at the same time. Come on, John, and share it. And I'm going to give you 8 minutes. I think this is number 8, Lisa. Is that the one Chad had? That one? It's on, okay.
Okay. As you know, a couple months ago, my car died, and I've been walking back and forth to work. It's like 7 miles one way.
Yay.
And a couple times I walked to church.
Yay.
You guys didn't know that, but I did. So I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, a friend of mine, or next-door neighbor, came up to me as I was at the garbage can. I was putting some stuff in it. He said, "Hey, man, you still need a car?" I was like, "Yeah, why?" Well, he works construction projects and stuff. He said, "Well, I know the guy that, you know, he's selling a car." I'm like, "Okay, what kind of car?" "I think it's Mercedes." I'm like, "Okay." And he said, "He only wants, you know, $350 for it." I'm like, "Whatever, you know." And so I went out there the next day, and I looked at it, and it was nice. It was very nice. So I prayed and prayed, and I stood in my tither's rights. Since me and Teresa have tithed since day one.
Amen.
And she was in agreement with me. So next day, this past Thursday, I went to work at UPS. And I was walking to the bathroom to, you know, because it was break time. And this lady came up to me and said, "Young man, I've been here almost 30 years. I said, "Okay." You know, I was just kind of looking at her like, you know, okay, what am I going to hear now, you know? And she said, he kept saying $350. I'm like, "Okay." "And to give it to you." I was like, "Okay." He said, "What's the $350 for?" I said, "That's for a car I need." "Okay, well, tomorrow morning I'll wire it to you." And I told her, I gave her the address where I was going to be at, you know, Friday morning. And, of course, I got out there, and I didn't have the $350 because she hadn't wired it yet. She was sitting there at the address right up the street in the car. She said, "Okay, I've already paid the young man for the car." I'm like, okay, thank you. And it's like, okay, well. And she said, you know, well, this is the exact same year model my husband gave me, you know, 30 years ago. And so I can tell you everything there is to know about this car. So I now have a 1989 Mercedes-Benz 300E. And it's there's nothing wrong with it. It's like the interior is perfect. It's got new tires on it. I mean, it's a blessing.
That's the moment, John. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I tell you what I'll do, John. I give you $400. I haven't seen the car yet. John, you forgot to tell John you about your promotion while you was walking. You know, you made supervisor. Yeah. Well, he walked up on supervision.
I made supervisor, which is effective, I think, January 2nd or 3rd.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's just a blessing right there, John. I was one of those that fussed at him by walking, you know. I said, John, you could have called me, man. You could call somebody to pick you up, you know. But he said he left home at 6 o'clock in the morning, walked to church. I met him out in the foyer. He was telling me about it. So Lisa said, don't do that no more. I'm going to take you home. You know, he wanted him walking if he could, you know. That's the way they used to do when I was working, when I first went to work. It just wasn't many cars, you know. You had to get on your feet and then buy your old car where you can make it to work and back. So at break time, you know, you go around asking everybody, where you live? Can I ride with you this evening? Can you pick me up? So you buy them a little gas and ride with them if they would take you, you know. But I know it's hard when you're you're out there footing it out. And you got to wait on that bus and all that if the bus come your direction. So it's not easy. You have to leave so early to make all that work. So God bless you, John. And now you are rolling in a Mercedes Benz. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 That's high cotton, Chad. Amen. Anybody else want to share one with us? I tell you what now, we're going to have some good testimonies because, like he told you guys, you know, he's claiming tithers' rights. Amen? So if you're a tither and a giver, you see, and so the guy came to him with the car and somebody came to him with the money. That's even better, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's just good. That's just good all the time. That's good. Praise the Lord. You got one, sister? Okay. You mean break? Oh, go ahead. Turn the mic off. You got to record it. You got to have your recording and on the tape. And who knows? I might let you be on TV with us. Give me your testimony.
I have been trouble with some pains in my body, and. When the pastor called for prayer last week, I went up and we set ourselves in agreement about the pain. The pain was very severe, and I had been troubled with it. I didn't know why I was doing this, because I always kind of equate a lot of things to my age. But this didn't have anything to do with age. This was just pain. So he and I agree. He laid hands on me, and I am pain-free. I have not had
Amen.
Any pain
Amen.
Since last
Amen.
Sunday. So I Hallelujah. Praise and I give God the praise.
Let's give God the glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Good. Good. That's good. You weren't supposed to tell them I told you about the age. I told her that was number one, Kitty. But actually, no, the old devil don't care how old you are. He will attack you. He come to take away from you. Amen. And thank God, you know, folks, that we're getting light on this stuff and we acting on the word of God and we're getting results. Hallelujah. Amen to God. Hallelujah. So let's have a word of prayer. Let's get started for today. And this will be our last Sunday this year. I think we're going to close it out right. Amen. Amen. Well, Father God, we just want to honor you today. We want to thank you for the good testimonies that came up before you. I thank you, Father God, that they are an encouragement to us all. And that we're looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you for sending Jesus Christ to us. We thank you, Father God, that this time of year as we celebrate his birth, we just rejoice in it and be glad because it's just such a time of rejoicing. It's such a time, Father God, that of giving and that we're honoring what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we're honoring you for sending him to us. We thank you for that. Now, as we enter into the word, I thank you that the anointing here today would rest upon each person. They have ears to hear, hearts to receive. I thank you that no person will leave here the same. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, if you will, you can open your Bibles to Mark, the fourth chapter. That's why we were, before we had the Christmas program, and it was all about the name of Jesus. Just a wonderful. I really enjoyed the season with you guys and praising the Lord and worshiping him for what he has done for us here at New Life Church. Amen. Well, folks, I'm telling you something now. We're going somewhere. We're going to stay with God, and he's going to take us. We're not going to try to take ourselves. We're going to go with God. That way we give him the glory, honor, and praises for everything because we're trusting in him to take us where we're going. And we've been talking about the integrity of God's word and the word, how the word can be so trusted and how Jesus explains the word so vividly in Mark's gospel. He tells us something about the power in the word of God. And I keep hitting my pocket every time I hit it. I'm thinking it's me, but it's not. I think, it's the organ doing that. I thought it was me. But anyway, he begins to talk about, in this particular parable, relating it to the kingdom of God. I told you guys when we first started that particular day in Mark Gospel, the fourth chapter, you have to put all of them together. You have to put Matthew, Luke, Mark together and find out he did about 10 parables that day and in his teaching, or more. And we talked about how when the disciples heard this one, they asked him to explain it. And in explaining it, he begins to talk about the word of God. So that would be starting, what, at the 14th or 13th chapter? If you can, yeah, 13th verse, I mean, yeah. Full, put up at least a full 13. And he began to talk from that verse, explaining the parable and what it meant. I'm way away from where I'm supposed to be. Okay. Well, give me a minute, guys. I'm going to catch up. I'm going to catch up. I should be up, shouldn't I? And he said unto them, know ye this parable, and how then will you know all parables? That was the 13th verse. Now, he began to say, this parable will teach you the rest of the parables. All right? He said, the sower sows the word. Now, you know, like I know, that he was talking to people who were used to sowing because that's what they did. I explained that pretty good when we was when we first entered into it, that area in of Judea where farming, where they did a lot of farming. A lot of farming went on in that particular area. Even at Bethlehem, it was noted for the wheat, you know. It's amazing how crops would grow there and the rainfall and so on and so forth. But anyway, they knew exactly what he was talking about. That's a good thing. And these guys were farmers and fishermen. They was familiar with the whole thing, area. So he explains that sowing the seed was in line with sowing the word. Now, let me say this to you. When we first started on sowing, I know 15 years ago, maybe longer, I said this. I said, people are going to change sowing to money. I said this. I was preaching a sermon. I said, people are going to sow, use the word sow for money. But Jesus said, sowing is the word. Right? And so when you get ready to give, a lot of people say, we want you to sow in this ministry, sow a seed. See, they took it away from his meaning to money. When Jesus said the sower sows the word, you see. So he began to talk about the word and the position of the word. He began to tell how how this word planted into a heart, how it's accepted. Well, if we can see the way the word of God is being accepted, we can kind of locate why we're not getting anything. You see, because we know now that Jesus explains it and said that it's four ways that it can be conceived. And he lets you know that one way that it's conceived, in which we always use this word, that when it's planted, you can receive 30, 60, 100-fold. So, you know, he called that part of the heart good ground. He said, you know, you put it in a place where it's sowed in good ground, it's going to bring forth. Well, this is interesting to these guys that he's talking to concerning the word once they begin to hear it. But it's not interesting enough that they take the word at face value and put it to work. You see? And it's the same thing here with us. I was reading this week, and I was listening to a Peggy got this recorder at home. It's not King James. I don't want you to know that. I'm used to King. But anyway, I was listening to that recorder. She was playing it. I wasn't playing it. A Miracle Bible. She was and this guy was talking. He was reading Timothy, and he was saying Timothy was saying, continue teaching the same thing. And they caught my ear. I said, I can see why now. He said, continual teaching this. He was talking to Timothy, continual teaching the same thing, because in his teaching, he knew people didn't get it unless it was redundant. You see, Jesus was the same way. He taught the same way. He just kept on teaching it and teaching it over and over again. Because, see, everywhere he went, his opening sermon was that the Lord had anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor. He went right down that line to receive wealth to the brokenhearted, you see, that they might be made whole. He began to preach the same thing, but not quite naturally. The people that was with him, they was hearing that over and over. So they was hearing it more than the people that were hearing it one time. It's kind of like this. I see it like this. When you continually teach it, it's kind of like a song. You know, when you learn a song, you continually rehearse it till you get it. Once you get it, you can close the book because you got it. You know, you can sing it anywhere you go. So this is the way he's intending for us to see the word coming as a continual run, continually go over it till you get it. Till you get it, see. So here what we're talking about today, when we find out about sowing the word that's coming forth from God, sowing the word, we see it's important to where it hits. And I think this now, I just want to point this out, so this would be Willie chapter 1. I think that when you continually put it in there like that and you see it's not bringing forth, that you'll move it or you'll prepare your own heart, so to speak, with the word of God. You prepare yourself. You'll continue to say it until you say, well, why I'm not getting that over this way? Why, maybe I should change. You'll say it to yourself. See, you won't just keep going in the same direction and not getting results. But you'll change it yourself. And I believe from that way, you'll move if it's on stony ground. You know, if it's weeds, thorns, and thistles there, stopping the word from coming forth, you'll know something is wrong and it's stopping, and you begin to move it yourself. And if it's the cares of the world coming, which I think all of us caught up with that, don't you? I mean, we just got so much of it, you know. And he used that. He said the cares of the word are choke the word out, but choke it. Now, I don't listen to the news that much. Every now and then, I used to listen to Pat Robertson News, you know, when they come on, they'll give some updates and some things. And usually I forget it after I hear it because I hear it one time, you know. But I don't too much listen to it because I know the effect of it, see. So what I'm doing, I'm trying to stay away from the effect that would rob from me. So I'm gonna go on to good ground. I was just kind of, you know, I was praying. I was talking to the Lord about my prayer time. You know, I said, look like it's been a struggle to keep getting into prayer the way I want to. You know, I got this drive. You know, Kenneth Hagin always say, you know, he can just step right over into the Spirit. You know, if any of you guys do a lot of praying, you know, we've been having prayer for years in my house. You know, when you start praying, you're so far in the natural, you stay in the natural. You know what I'm talking about, Ron? You stay in the natural, you're thinking about the job, you're thinking about everything going on. You're trying to get over in the Spirit, but all these things you've been involved with all day, they're just going around and around and around, and you can't hardly shut that off, you know. Sometimes, you know, you get to praying and praying and praying, and it keep coming. You know, you say, well, dog, what's it going to take here to get rid of the day's work? But you have to kind of struggle and stay with the prayer and keep your mind over on the prayer from your mind going back to that. Because, see, every time you look up, you're back over there again. You say, wow, I'm trying to stay with my prayer. So I was just praying about that, you know. And then it came to me, you know, you just got to put more word in it. And the more words you feed in, the more you spend time feeding in. Then when you get that word trained in there, your mind will go back to where you've been training more, giving more time to, see, which tells us the truth about the word, that you, wherever you give yourself to is what you become like, you see. So you're going to have to pull away from that system, giving more time to the word, and then spend some time with prayer. And then what will come forth to be that word that you put in there for that foundation to keep you going in prayer. So I said, well, I guess I'll just go back and do more Bible reading and Bible study, do more of it. Because all of it, spiritual things, can be taken away by natural things. Because, see, we got these treasures in earthly vessels. And the earthly vessel outweigh the spirit. Per se, because the spirit has everlasting life in it. And I say that because you got to deal with your mind and your body, you know. So the five physical senses are really, 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 really something to work with, you see. Because, you know, if you hear something, it'll keep coming back to you because you heard it. It just keep coming back to you. If you see something, you keep thinking about it, you know. So you have to really fight the good fight of faith by keeping the word where it's supposed to be kept. Now, the word is the only thing that we have tangible that we can put our hands on. See, the only spiritual thing you got tangible that you can pick up your Bible and say, now, this is from God, and this is all spiritual, according to the fourth chapter of John, I think verse 27. this is the word that is spiritual. So I got to be able to take this word and use it against everything that's around me. That's the power in the word. That's all you needed was the word out of everything that's in the world. So he's talking about, Jesus talking to his people about putting the word into good ground. He gives every step to these guys about where the word should be. You see, and I told you what I thought would get you to good ground is by practicing each ground. Because, you know, if the word of God is falling by the wayside, Jesus said the devil comes immediately, see, immediately to take that which was sown away. He'll take that away from you, and it won't mean anything that thereby being unfruitful. See, because he took that away, so it can't bear no fruit. You see, so he was telling these guys, now they knew about seed. They know if you plant a seed in some rocky soil, you're not going to get anything. Because they know the minute that seed, if that seed hatch out, if it hatch out, most of the time it hit on rocky soil, it just roll and just lay there till a bird come along and get it, you see. Yeah, but, you know, some ground, you know, that when the word come forth or when the seed come forth, it just come up and cause the weather so hot and they can't get enough moisture, it just kill over and die while it's young because it need the proper amount of moisture. Well, these guys know all about what he's talking about. So he's telling us and them, we got to treat the word like that. If we want the word to work, we got to realize that the steps that he's given us in making that word work in our lives are vitally important. That tells us that it's a step-by-step operation. See? It's a process, so to speak. Can you say that on a natural seed? Now, natural seed takes a process. And as it takes this process and begin to come to fruition, you and me don't even know how. All we know is that the earth was made by God, and when he made the earth, he told the earth to bring forth. And when he told the earth to bring forth, the earth brought forth everything that a man needed. I can't tell you how many times I could go around this. God didn't walk down the road and say, an apple tree here, a pear tree here, plum tree here. Oh, give me some cabbage over here. He didn't do that. God figured it all out. When he figured it all out and made the earth, he made it bring forth everything that it needed. All the animals that it needed. It brought forth all that. God's a big God. He knew everything. He knew everything that it brought forth man could use. Because he was making it for a man. Man ain't even got here yet, but God making everything for him, everything that he need. And all the animals came forth. Everything came forth that he called forth. It came forth because the earth produced it. And then he said everything by after itself, every seed after itself. So that means it's going to keep running. It's not going to stop. Now, how many of these guys be walking around saying, you know, we're going to run out of food. We're going to run out of water. The earth getting hot. The earth getting cold. These guys. But God didn't say any of that. He made it produce out this kind. He made enough on earth to produce to feed everybody here. Because God did it by himself. He had it already figured out. It brought forth. And then he made man. See? He brought him forth. And gave him everything he needed right there at his hands. And then he said, I'm giving you dominion over the fowls of the air, fish of the sea, that animal, every kingdom that he made, he gave him dominion over it. He said, now you be fruitful and multiply. That gave me dominion over my wife. You be fruitful and multiply. You know what you said, don't you, Ron? You ain't finna multiply him. No, she didn't say that. But you know, he fixed it. Everything was just right. And the Bible said it's all upheld, how? By the power of his word. My. So when he began to explain the word and how the word worked and the process we needed to get the word back and for us to walk in the redemption that we was called to, we need to know that. I know one time I spent 3 days. I was all fasting and praying. I went to the hotel. I got in there and got all situated. I was doing my confessions and reading my Bible and praying. And kept coming up in my spirit, you know, go down there and check your bill. Well, I had been to that hotel once before, so I didn't even check my bill. I just stayed on up there. You know, I kept praying, and standing before God. So the Lord told me, he says, to me, he said, study my word. Stay in the word at all time. That's what he told. And, you know, I knew to do that, but I didn't have a revelation of it, you know, to stay in the word, see. So he was pointing me to stay spiritual. The only way I'm going to stay spiritual is stay in the word. That's what he was pointing me to. So I stayed up there another day or so. I didn't get nothing else but that. So I went down there to pay my bill. It was a lot more than I had. I said, whoa, what's going on there? I said, now nah, see what I said, go check your meal. And the hotel that went up. So, but I was able to use a credit card, you know, to get it straight out what I was doing there praying. But that was what he pointed me to. Pointed me right to the word. And if God point us anywhere, he's pointing us to spiritual things where the power is and how to operate. This same thing here that he was doing with these guys when they asked him about the integrity of the word or tell us about the soil. And he began to tell that men don't have to know how it works, but he can know that he was created in God's image and that it does work in his spirit. See, that's why it's going to work for him. See, if it don't work in your spirit, that's why he began to say grounds that it's planted in. You know, sometimes the word is planted in your head. It's a whole lot of people have the memory of the word. It's a whole lot of people can quote those scriptures, but they don't have any revelation to them. They don't mean anything to them. You see, as far as lifestyle, other than show, I can quote that, but it doesn't mean anything. So the integrity of the word in your life, in my life, should be first place as disciples taught of the Lord. You see, we cannot be effective in what we do for God if the word is not effective in us. You see, God has called us to go in the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Go, you preach it. That's your assignment. You can't get around that assignment. You go preach it. I always say, if you can't preach it, just follow me. I'll take you to somebody who can preach it. Just stick with me. I'll take you there. But that's the assignment. And in order for us to fulfill the assignment, we must know what the word has to say about it. Now, in fulfilling the assignment, you'll always run into this. You'll run into people who have these questions, unanswered questions. That's sometimes it's a roadblock, sometimes it's a trap. You see, sometimes, you know, some people want to know the truth so they can advance. Some want to trap you so you can go on about your business. You see, so they'll say things to you and ask questions to you that they think will set them free from following you. You see? So we're going to cover a little bit of that. I'm going to tell you this first. I was witnessing to a guy, and he was telling me all about the Old Testament. You know, he says to me, you know, you got to know something about the tribes of Israel. You know, so he went on telling me about certain of the tribes. And then he went on to tell me, saying, you got to know how to keep the Ten Commandments. out of knowing about the tribes. And it was a black guy. And he told me, he looked at me, he said, you know, we the lost tribe of Israel. I looked at him. I said, whoa, brother. He said, we the lost tribe. I said, well, I'm found. I don't know about him. He may be somewhere lost, but I'm the found tribe of Israel. He went on, you know. He was ready to argue with the point, you know. So I wouldn't stay with the point. So I had another preacher friend. We was together. We run into this guy again. And I was telling him, I said, that's the guy right there. So he lost. Preacher looked at him and shook his hand and said, he don't know what he's talking about. That man got so mad, boy. He told me, where you getting from? You don't come and tell me. I don't know what I'm talking about. We are the lost tribe of Israel. And he had a guy with him. I think the guy's name was, what is that boy's name? But he had one of the tribe's name, what it was. What's his name? he went on and said, he from that tribe, he named, but I can't remember now which one. he went on. But, you know, the other preacher wasn't back off either. He said the same thing, and he don't know what he's talking about. Man, every time he looked like a guy got, he worse. You know, I said, man, you better kind of leave him alone, brother. he ain't receiving at all. And he didn't. He didn't receive. But my point in telling you all that is that you run into these people, then you need to know the word yourself. See, you need to know what's going on yourself. And you need to know what, you know, God has said that you can just answer that with the word of the living God. So it's certain things that we need to know. So when you get the word in the right place in your heart, a lot of times you know not to even fool with it. You know, when you witness to somebody, well, you have a nice day. You just go on by. Then you know you can just pick up on it. You discern what is going on. Concerning that person and where they are. Then sometimes, you know, you can open it up and they can ask you some of the most spiritual questions, you know. But what do I need to do? Well, I heard so-and-so, so-and-so, you see. And then you can begin to go ahead and witness. But without you being educated, you'll walk away from it or either you'll quit doing it. So my point is that I want you to be strong in what you do and stand for. Well, what you say, because you know God got your back. God has got your back. So what happens is this. God has been mistaken as the God who does everything and in charge of everything. And if something happened, God had a reason for it. I mean, how many times have you had that? You know, God got a reason for this. God is saying this to me, but and doing these things to me for a reason. It's a reason. I tell you, I've heard that over and over again. And the worst thing is some believers saying it. Yeah, yes, yeah. God got a reason for this. Lisa, let's go to the first chapter of James. Let's go in and we'll clear up some of this and give you guys some scriptures on it. I'm going to cover this part because we have to, but I would like to say more about the integrity of the word, but I won't today. Maybe when we start back on the next one. I don't know. We might get back around to it. I don't know. Anyway, some people automatically, first chapter, 13 verse, and we'll go, first chapter, James. Yeah, I told you that. You got it up there? Yeah. Okay. When people say they got a reason for it, God got a reason. If it's a bad thing, if something is going, most time people say that it's something bad. It ain't. It's not something that's good. Let's read 1 through 3. I mean, 1, let's just, I mean, 1, 13, 14, let's read down to 17. Okay? Let's read. Let no man say when he's tempted, for God cannot be tempted. Yeah. Then. Man, can you say God is in control now? You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, God's in control. But can you say he's in control now? When a man, but like he said when a man is tempted, he's what? Drawn away by his own lust. So you see, sometimes you don't even have to put it on the devil. His own lust can draw him over into sin and can draw him away. And he'd turn around and say, well, you know, God got a reason for this. I know he has. Mm-hmm. You can put it on if you want. Yeah, you got yourself in it. Get yourself out. You know, I can't understand how some people think that things are working on their behalf when they got themselves into some mess and try to put it on God. God do not tempt men with evil. See, you can't take that to God no kind of way. Now, we being disciples, we being taught of the Lord, we gonna hear this. Believe me, you're gonna hear this. You're gonna hear it again. If you do what God is telling you to do, you gonna hear this again. They gonna say God got a reason for this. I mean, this wheelchair caused this or that. God working on something. Yeah, working on getting you. He working on getting you out the chair if you let. But I told y'all about the woman in the chair, and I had a friend. They prayed, they fast had in every meeting, and they was trying to get that woman out of that wheelchair, young woman too. And they found out later on that woman was getting paid to be in that chair, and that woman didn't want to be out that chair. That money outweighed her getting out of that chair. And she finally told him, they kept on putting pressure on her. She finally told him she was getting paid to be in that chair. I get a check. She said, what about my check if I get up? What about your check? You go to work and get your check. But people have all kind of reasons. But when you're spiritual, you know exactly what to tell them. Well, what did God say about it? See, he said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundant. Now that's John 10:10, which tells us God's reason for coming. Not only that, it tells you the devil's reasons. See? Yeah. See, he come to kill, steal, and destroy. So when you see all that's working, you ought to be smart enough to say, well, it's the devil right here. The scripture tells me this is God over here, and this is the devil right here. So which one working for you? You say, well, why would you say God got a reason for it? He going to get something out of this, you see, a reason why he letting this happen to me. I had a woman with cancer one time told me that. She said, well, you know, you see what I'm going through. I was trying to get her to go to Benny Hinn and me, and she was trying, and she said, well, you see what I'm going through. I won't be able to go there. I said, but, yeah, God want to raise you up. Oh, she said, no, I'm going through too much now. She died. But wait, that was all. I took a chance. That's all. Said she got a healer. She died. They buried her. But the thing was, help came, you see, but got a reason not to take it. You see, when God wants you well, God wants the unbelievers well. He's the God of light. When God came, didn't nobody know him. When Jesus showed up and said God sent him to nobody. He said the light came, and that light was the life of men. When the light came, and that light had the life that men needed. And he came and was rejected. His own rejected him when he came to bring it. So you see, God does have a reason. You see, when he do a thing, he does it for everyone. The earth was created for every man and woman. But every man and woman don't take the advantage of what was created to them. It's only those that take the advantage get to walk in it. You see, I told you, I told you guys about envy. You know, we was talking about envy one Sunday, and I was telling you how envy is such a robber, and it's quiet robbery. You see, because, you know, envy, you know, when a person desires something someone else have, they desire to have it, and you don't know they desire to have it. And they'll do all kind of underhanded stuff because you possess, if it's something God gave you, if it's a gift. You know, if you're walking in prosperity and they're not, and they be envious of it. Instead of being rejoicing with you and being glad, the first thing they say is, you know, I'm the one should be walking in that. I did this. I done that. You give yourself excuses to be envious. But you don't need an excuse to be envious because it's undercover kind of work. And, you know, you're thinking of it and not even saying anything about it, but it's still working in your life. You know what that envy does, don't you? They just let the devil in. Yeah. It opens the door to the devil. I can't understand how Christians think, you know, because we're in Christ and we're going to go to heaven, that things don't happen to them. When you open the door through these things that I'm talking about to yourself, the devil comes right in. You may never know the reason that he's in, but you know the curse does not come without a cause. And you open that door, and he's in there eating your lunch, and you don't know why he's eating your lunch. You'll put it on somebody else. You'll put it on everybody but you. You won't go back and judge yourself. You won't even ask the Lord, how did this get in here on me, what I need to do to get rid of it? You won't even ask that question. You will just allow him to come in and work in you, and he'll work havoc in your life, in your marriage, in your finances. And you know the thing is, the person that he's working on, so deceived, they continue to put it on the next person. That's how deceived they are. And if you come along and tell them, you know, the devil deceiving you, they won't believe it. They won't even believe it. Say, you're being deceived, brother. And the devil works undercover like that. He'll work until that sin kill you dead. They'll bury you, and you won't even know why you got buried. You won't, because that's what he said. And when we was reading James over there, when that sin is conceived, it brings forth death. Sin is designed to kill you. And it'll kill you dead. Sometimes, you know, people look for, I guess sin just knock him over, bam, he dead. No, sin work in stages too. Just little by little, it's continuing working. You know, I'll tell you what, I don't know what's wrong with me. I ain't got to the place now, I'm just bending over further and further. The devil bending you over, and you don't know, you started trying to stand up, and the devil started bending you over, and he winning. You know how come he winning? Because you ain't got no defense. See, you don't know how he got in there, and you don't know what he's doing to you. So you go over to the doctor, and he gives you some, it's a domes, what kind of, give you something more for your back. He give you for your back, and you say, well, doctor, they did stop it a little bit, but I'm steady going just a little slower now. Yeah, because you won't get that sin out. But we believers, we supposed to know that. We supposed to know sin will kill you. We supposed to know to judge ourselves. We supposed to take our communion cup and say, now, Lord, I'm judging myself. So that judgment won't come on me. I'm finna get the devil out. I'm finna clean house here. You see. And then you ought to ask the Lord sometimes. Now, Lord, is there anything else I need to check on? Anything I need to do? Just tell me and I'll clean it up. You see. And you know what God will do? He'll show you. He'll show you. You might have sent somebody by to show you. And two or three times. Because sometimes, you know, you hear something and you don't think that's you. You know, oh, that's not me. I don't even do that. Yeah, you all right. You just never got in. You just don't know he's in there. And he's in there working that in your life. And a kill you dead as you got to die. Now, we need to know, and we know how, need to know how to clean ourselves up. You see, we need to know how to get back in line with the Word of God. We got to realize that the devil is our enemy, and he's coming against us for a reason. Stop your ministry. Stop you from doing what God said to do, and kill you. That's the bottom line. Take you straight on out, and when you get to heaven, you can say, well, you know, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I stayed down on earth and cut myself short. As Brother Copeland said, you get up to heaven to see how much you left on the table. So, boy, my table full. He said, no, you didn't get nothing done. Because, see, you didn't never operate and act on the word of the living God. Amen. I know. James 17 says that that the good gifts come from God. I like that. The good and perfect gifts come from God. So we know where the good things are coming from. Then we did 10:10. I told you about 10:10, about the thief, his job, and I told you about Jesus' job. But let's look at James 4 and 7. 4 and 7. All right, let's read it. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, the reason why we're reading this scripture is that if you think God is doing it, if you think it's God has got it under control, or God in charge, or he know what he's doing, guess what? You will never resist the devil. See, you will never submit yourself to God. And if he got you where you won't do the word on that, he will never flee from you. That's what I was trying to get you to see a minute ago. He'll stay right there till he kill you dead. He'll never flee. He'll stay right there. But you got to know what the word says, and you got to know that I'm going to submit myself to God. Now, when I submit myself to God, what am I going to submit to? The word, the word, the word. I'm going to submit to doing what the word say, do. Submit. I think about when we was working, preacher wait on Peggy every day. They talk about the word submit. he wait for Peggy. He be sitting there waiting, Lord, coming out. You know, Peggy come loaded too. You know, he come tonight. See, he was really trying to use the word. He was trying to make you know. He was really trying to bring it over to submitting to your husband. Peggy, no, I don't mean that. And he said, well, now. Nah. But I said, well, he got his hands full of knuckles. Peggy ain't finna give up. He forget. I bet they went on 2 months, didn't they, Pookie? They every day, he be waiting. Peggy come down that aisle just walking. Boy, he come over, he have a chair waiting. And that be the Bible study. But when you submit to God, you submit to the word of God. What the word has to say about it. If you know you're submitting to God, then the Bible said the devil will flee from you as in terror. Because I know what God said about that. You see, God said, by stripes I'm healed. By stripes I'm made whole. I know what he said about that. I'm standing on that. You're going to have to flee from me. Because Ephesians 6:17, I think it's talking about the word of God. I believe 6:7 said the word of God is a sword. Two-edged sword. Now, you got the word of God, and you sticking your enemy with that word of God, you know what he's going to do for you? As in terror. Or you stinging him every time you hit him with it, boy. You know, you backstroking. You just don't keep going one way. Just give it out there. Bring it back cross. You know, just, you won't know which way you hit that. You see, yeah, boy. And then when they're on his way out, just sticking. Get on. And you stay away. You stay away. I'm going to give you some more. You come back. Continually using the word of the living God. I think I gave y'all the right scripture. Ephesians 6:17, was that right? Yeah, the word of God. It's like so. So we using that word like God telling us. Because now we know something about the integrity of the word. We know how to put it to work in our life. Now, what did I tell you earlier? You know not how. You just putting the word out there. You don't know how many angels see into it. You don't know if the Holy Spirit see into it. You don't know if Jesus come on the word on a board to see to it. But the word works, and you don't have to realize how many ministering spirits working on your behalf. You don't have to even know. See? And you know it works because God said it works. See? And now, that's why our faith come to play. You know when I was telling you about the integrity of the word? You have to believe that. You see? Once you believe what God has said, what he was talking about when he was talking about sowing the word. See, you have to believe that word is being sowed. And when that word is being sowed into your heart, you believe that. And that believing will automatically denote action. See? You're acting like it as much as you can. I'm acting like I know that's real. I'm not only saying what God's saying, I'm doing as much as I can to correspond with it. See? Doing as much as I can to correspond with what God has said. You see, I was talking to this other preacher. He had a stroke. And he told me, he says, every time they come in my room, I was laying on the floor. And they asked him, so why? How you keep getting out of that bed? You keep laying on that floor. Yeah, no, he said, I didn't say nothing. He said, they put me back up in the bed, they come back. I laying on the floor. He said, his wife come looking for him. They said, well, he's in the room. And he says, when the wife got in the room, she said, no, no, he's not in that room. I don't know where he is. Did y'all move? And I said, no. So they looked up and said, he said, here I come, honey. He's walking down the hall. He said to me, he said, I believed I was healed. See, he kept trying to get up. He kept trying to act on what he believed. See, he kept trying and finally got up. Now, how many of us would have did like the doctor said, stayed in the bed? How many of us would have said, shoot, I hurt my knee that last time. Shoot, I'm going to lay on in here. But he kept acting on it. He kept trying all he could to act like he was healed. See, he knew a healed man would get up. And he told me, he said to me, he said that, the doctor finally told me, said, that wasn't nearby what we thought would have been a bad stroke that you had. But he said that he continually acted on the word. God will do the same thing with us. But it just depends on what we know. Since we know we have to do something, just don't sit around. Do what you know to do. Do as much as you know to do. See, just get on and act on it, much as you know how. So if the sower would sow the word and he know where he's sowing the word and he know what kind of ground he's putting the word in. See, that's why I gave you all the grounds and putting the word. You keep working till you get it. Folks, this knowledge that we're talking about is important in this day that we're living in now. We're living in, it's just, you know, it, even where we, in finances, we're doing what God said to do because we love God. Yes, we're giving, we're tithing. So we're not giving to God per se just to get, but he told us that if we give, it'll be given back to us. He said, if you love me, see, and you'll act on his word. He said, if you love me, he said, I'll abide with you, and you abide with me. Just ask what you will, see, and it'll be done. But see, we're doing it because we love him. We not just, see, you got so many people say, well, no, I'm doing it because I'm looking for something back. No, your foundation ought to be because I love God, you see. I'm loving on, it's the same thing about a husband and wife, you see. If he loved God, he going to love his wife. If he loved God, see, he going to love his wife. Same thing with the wife. She loved God, she going to love her husband. Because that love going to continue to manifest, see. She going to always say, well, you know, I believe old honey wants some of these good old black eyed peas for New Year's. I'm going to fix some black eyed peas and some pork. In okra, he said, black eyed okra, look. You know, the tradition is peas and pork, you know. I think he might want, I'm going to fix him some of that. Yeah, I'm going to do this, you know. That's just her thinking and his thinking, you know. I'm going to take her shopping. I know, kid, it's all right. I'm going to go in the mall and sit down with him. You just have your way. Well, you know, when you shop with women, you know, they, honey, how you like this? That's pretty. She put that down. You know, you in all day. Well, you go sit down. Let's go in and look at it. Come on back. I'll be right here. But anyway, love make all this work. See? And that's what Jesus wanted us to see. He wanted us to see that. Let's keep our foundation on the love walk of God. Let's keep on loving on one another. Let's keep on loving on God as much as we can. Let's tell him about 100 times a day how much you love him. Lord, I love you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. You see, and I love my neighbor as myself. I love you, Lord, and the things I do them because I love you. That's what Jesus said. He loved the Father, and the Father loved him. He said that in John. He said, I love the Father loved me. And you know what? He did the will of God. It ain't many folks know they come here to die and be as happy as Jesus was. And then when he got ready to go to the cross, he said, this is what I come for. He was glad about it. This is what I come to die for you all, because he loved us. Man, he so loved the world. I mean, is this what I came for? To give myself for you guys. Man, that's so good. That's so good. Amen. I don't know nobody else to die for us. You? they tell the story, Shad, if they say they'll die for you. You take them to the, take them to push the button. Hold the button a minute. I just thought about something. They're not worth dying for. Just turn around and go back. But it's just the idea. Just the idea of it is mind-boggling. You know, you come and your own reject you, and you're going to die for me still. Boy, that's got to be a lot of love. Got to be a lot of love. You know, say, so, man, I come here and you guys hate me, and I'm telling you the truth. You guys want to stone me, and I'm telling you the truth. Man, but still, I'm going to die for you. Pay that price and die on the cross for you. Amen. So we talking about being as disciples, things we need to know concerning the word of God, things we need to do continually to bring it to pass in our lives. The more we practice it, somebody said, well, am I going to miss it? Yeah, you're going to miss it a bunch of times, but keep getting up. See, don't stay down when you miss it. Keep getting up. So no. So Lord, I went over there and talked to old cutting so-and-so. She didn't hear me, you know. But I tell you what, Lord, I'm willing to go back if you tell me. I'll go back over there and talk to him again. Yeah, if you tell me to. I'm just praying for them right now. You know, I'm believing the word just took root that you gave me to give them. I just told them about salvation, told them about your love for them. And I just believe, Father God, they're going to make heaven their home. I'm asking you to send other labors to them that they'll hear and listen to. And I'm believing that they'll just dream about this word I gave them today. So you just can't get rid of it because you're doing what God told you to do. But now, if we're not doing those things, you know, like I told you all, week before last thing, if we just come and sit down and go home and sit down and go home and sit down, we are hearers only and not doers. But see, you got to put that together. You just can't hear it and don't go and do it. You got to put it together. You have to practice this thing. You see, if you ain't used to telling your wife you love her, go in the next room and holler with her too, honey. She only looking at you, you know, I love you. And going, oh, I don't. You said, till you get used to looking in her face, telling her, you know. you got to build yourself up, you see. Because you know how rejection is. She'll ask you, you know, honey, how this look I got on here? I look nice. I don't look nice. You just telling me that. But I was saying, well, no, I don't. I said, well, okay. You said don't look nice. But that's part of it. You know, that's just part of it. And it'll just continue to grow, you know. And after a while, you know, she said, well, you know, I know you're telling the truth about that now. You know, it did look nice on me. I got several other comments on it saying that it looked nice, you know. But it's growing. Trust grows. See, once failure hit in and the trust is gone, I don't care who the person is. You look up under every stump. You look at their phone. You look because you don't trust them no more. And you know, and it don't come right back once it leaves. You know, it got to be built again. Start back building. Nobody trusts you. If somebody find out you're a big liar, they check everything you say. Because, you know, you can't talk behind so-and-so. You can't believe so-and-so. They will lie. They will. Well, that's just the way it is. You don't trust them no more. All the trust gone. But if a person told you something and they honored what they told you, and if they came back with a mistake, they call you and told you, say, hey, I made a mistake on that. And so-and-so, so-and-so. Or either you tell them the mistake. When anybody says, well, let me explain to you what I told you. And I told you that based on this, 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 this. But now that you told me that, I won't tell you anymore. See, there's a person you can go to, and they're lining themselves right back up with the word every time. Go right back with the word. And that's the way it ought to be. Because we believers, not doubters. Amen. Amen. The word of God is working in us. Now, I tell you what, I kind of sense Piccadilly time. I ain't looking. Oh, yeah, we got it's time. And you know, I ain't got my watch on. I've been looking for my watch ever since we moved. We live in Mississippi now, guys. Yeah, welcome back, brother. You know, Peggy already was a country girl. I'll tell y'all that. She talks about me, but she was come from Hernando. we live in Olive Branch. See, my home was in Ruleville, Mississippi. I'm down further away. You know where Ruleville is? Yeah, Cotton be real tall in Ruleville. Yeah, no, but she come from it be low. Yeah. Now I'm going to get off of Piccadilly. I'm going to just go back over here and start back talking about the source of the word. My wife be in the car. Who told you to talk about Hernando? I know it. That's why we in Mississippi now. She like Mississippi. She told me, hey, about 2 or 3 years in a row, I like Mississippi. She been to me. So we back in Mississippi now. You know, she like Mississippi. Yes, sir. It's all right. There ain't nothing wrong with it. I've been to Memphis all my life. I think my family moved to Memphis in 1950. Yeah. And then, yeah. So I wasn't born then, but that's when they moved. I'm just kidding. I was a little fella in 1950. So they moved here, but we kept going back. I don't know. Every summer we went back. Every holiday we went back. We kept going back. And then when I didn't go to Mississippi, I went to Arkansas. Doing the same thing. Well, in Arkansas, I picked more cotton over there, chopped and picked cotton over in Arkansas. That was the only work we had there, you know. See, they weren't hiring nowhere. They was hiring in the field. So that's how I got it. Those of you all didn't pick, you didn't miss much. You didn't chop, you didn't miss much. See, I'm going to tell you that right off. But if you got a good job, stay on your job. Don't go to the field. I'm talking about hot. You're talking about a lot of work. That's where it is. Amen. Okay. Now, I need to take you guys. Well, no, I don't. Our time just about up. I want to talk about Romans 8:28, because we're talking about things that you're going to encounter when you are doing discipleship work. That Romans 8:28, put it up right. You got it? Okay. All right. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to who are the called according to his purpose. Now, this scripture has also been one that people use to do what we was talking about, to say that we know it's working for our good, and they'll quote that scripture in Romans 8 chapter. Now, look, that scripture has been misrepresented, because all things don't work together for your good, you see. But they use that first part of that scripture to say that as Christian people, as a scapegoat. So you can escape saying that you know it's working for your good, see. But in short, it says all things work together for the good to them who what? See, you know, a lot of Christians don't love God, you see. And a lot of people don't love God. So you know their foundation not right. So don't use that scripture unless your foundation is right, unless you know what you're talking about. You see, the guy that wrote this down, he knew all things work together for the good, because he had been killed so many times and again got back up, been beat so many times and got back up. They was working for his good, because he was doing what? Loving God and obeying God. He was doing what God told him to do, and it kept working for him. But now that won't work for you. You're not doing what God told you to do and you don't love God. You can't stand on that. But you got to have the whole scripture in context to stand on it and get the results. See? See? The guy who wrote it knew what he was talking about. And the guy who quoted it didn't know what he was talking about. See, he was sitting on the rump saying everything worked together for the good. Not unless you get up and go get you a job and do what God told you to do. See, all of us are on assignment, and we need to know what God told us to do. Okay, stand up on your feet. We'll stop off with that scripture. We are determined to be disciples taught of the Lord. We are determined to go and do what God told us to do. I told you guys 2 weeks ago, the only way God built a church is through us. Paul, God built a church through his disciples, didn't he? They went out and they won people to the Lord. They preached to people. People heard them and they won them to the Lord. They went out and witnessed and witnessed and witnessed. We can look at Philip. Philip was a good witness. He was a deacon in the church. But he went out and he witnessed. He finally come out being an evangelist. But the thing was, he was obeying God and he was getting results. You see, everybody we read about that was getting results, they was out doing the work. That's what we want to do. We want to be doing the work. If you just do it in your circle might not be with three people. Do it in them three. See, tell them, you know, what God said. Tell them you'll pray for them and God will heal them. You see, you don't have to do nothing but just give God the glory, honor, and praises and let him do what he told you he'll do. You know, sometimes we look at people and say, well, you know, God don't want to heal them. Look how ugly they are. No, forget all that. God will heal them if they're ugly. He'll heal them if they're crippled. He don't mind. You know how come? He put it all here for them. Amen? All right. Now, if you're here today and you tell me, say, well, look, I need some prayer. I want you to pray with me. My wife and I, we'll pray for you. We'll lay hands on you, get an agreement with you. And if you just want us to pray, we'll put some oil on you. We got some oil. We'll just pour that whole bottle on you. And we'll pray for you. And we'll believe God. God the one going to raise you up anyway. So we just might as well pour that oil out. The year going out anyway, right, kid? You put that whole bottle of oil on them right there. Yeah. Get us another bottle for the new year. But anyway, look, and you say you're not born again, you say you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you can't go wrong being filled with the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk some about the Holy Ghost next week. We'll recap some of this that we talked about today because I left a whole lot of important points out that I would like to bring back to you just for you to have in your thinking. Or if you get the CD, you got it on CD, you can go back and you can hear it again. But these things that we are talking about are highly important to where we are going. And you need to know these things, and you'll come back and testify to the glory of God the Father. God get all the glory and praises for it. You get the rewards for it. But God get all the glory and praises. He wants to reward us. Amen? Amen. 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 Anybody need any need? Good time to raise your hand. Come on down, sister. Come on, Peggy. Get the oil right here. That's old Myrna. That's Myrna. Yeah, young Myrna. I was in love with Myrna for years. Yeah, and then a friend of mine married her.
And now he's married to Jesus.
And now he's married, and I'm in love with your mama. Amen. Amen. I do too. I hate him. Man. Yeah, I'm healer. Okay. Put your hands on that, Peggy. Come on. Amen. We just come in and, Father God, we thank you now for complete healing right now, Myrna. We thank you, Father God, that power flow in her body right now from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, Father. We just thank you. You said that we lay hands on the sick and they recover. If they was among us, Father God, she's among us. We thank you now, Father God, for that power that's being released now. In Jesus' name we receive it. Amen. Amen. You got something, baby? Go ahead. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just receive, Myrna. In Jesus' name, we just thank you for that. Amen. 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 That power flow. Now, we no longer move by what we see or feel, Lord. We just believe that power is working. It's a working step by step, just like you told us would. First the seed. And after the seed is in, Father God, we begin to see the growth. And it had healing to grow right out of her body. In Jesus' name, full manifestation of it. Then the blade, then the stalk, then the fruit. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? All right. Father God, we thank you now for that healing power that's released in her. We just obey in your word. You said that you work with them with signs and wonders following. We just thank you for a full manifestation in Myrna's body. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Our ministering spirits go before us and make our way safe and prosperous. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You didn't know. That's why I made it public. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.